First Kings chapter 18. It's not too difficult to know the verse or text for today as we once again look at another one of those little things that we meet with in the Bible. In verse 44, we read, "And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand." And note the wording. How often have you heard people say, there was a cloud the size of a man's hand? That's not what it says. It's funny how we can so easily put our own words in. The Bible says, a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. So we need to be precise when we're dealing with God's word. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. In the final verses of the epistle of the Apostle James, the Apostle makes some very important observations about the matter of prayer. If you'd like to turn with me now to James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, we read here the words of James with regard to prayer. In fact, if you look carefully, you will find that from verse 13 to the end of the chapter, James mentions prayer no less than seven times. Verse 13, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." So he deals there with suffering and prayer. In verses 14 to 16, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church." And that's the scriptural way for us today. We don't go to any healing campaigns. We don't go up on stage for some so-called healer to lay his hands upon the sick. This is the scriptural way. "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church." And the reference there to the sick in verse 14 is a word that refers to someone who has been sick for a long time, someone who has been bedridden for some time, has not been able to get out of bed. They send for the elders of the church. That's the scriptural way. "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And so James here speaks about prayer and the suffering, those who have been afflicted. He speaks here about prayer and those who are sick. He goes on to say in verse 15, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Verse 16, "Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another." So we have prayer for the suffering, prayer for the sick, and prayer for the saints. We're to pray one for another, that ye may be healed. "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Now James deals with prayer and sincerity, being sincere in prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now we come to verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. We maybe have pointed this out before. That word passions is the word in the Greek homeopathy. We hear a lot about homeopathy today. Well, here is where it originated. Elias was a man subject to like passions or feelings, as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Seven times prayer is mentioned. And I find it interesting that when James speaks about prayer and teaches lessons with regard to prayer, he immediately thinks of Elijah. If you were to look up the chapter a bit, you will see that James speaks about patience. And of course, when we all think of patience, we think of one man, the patience of Job. And there in verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job." So when he thought about patience, he thought about Job. When he thought about prayer, he thought about Elijah. Because you see, James was impressed by the prayer life of Elijah. And naturally enough, when he spoke about prayer and taught lessons with regard to prayer, he remembered Elijah. Elijah was a man of prayer. James mentions two incidents in which Elijah demonstrated the power of prayer. In verses 17 and 18, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. There's an example of the power of prayer. It tells us, James tells us specifically, that he prayed that it might not rain. And it rained not for the space of 3 years and 6 months. There's the power of prayer. Now verse 18, "And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." There's evidence once more of the power of prayer. But that wasn't all. Because you recall that when the Lord sent Elijah to the widow woman of Zarephath, and the Lord provided for Elijah in a remarkable way, you recall after that, the widow woman's son died. And Elijah took her son into his own bosom and went to this place of prayer and prayed for that young man. And the Lord was pleased in answer to prayer because that man up again. Life came into him again. There's another example of the power of prayer. And then you recall also that when he was on Mount Carmel, you recall how he confounded the false prophets of Baal. He challenged them and he told them, "You pray to your God and I will pray to the God of Israel, and the God who answers by fire, he is the God." And you know the story well, that the prophets of Baal prayed and prayed to their dead gods, and there was no answer. Well, Elijah prayed. And when Elijah prayed, God answered his prayer and sent fire down from heaven. The fire of the Lord fell, we're told, and consumed the sacrifice, burned up the wood and licked up the water. You see, there really is power in prayer. Four examples of the prayer of Elijah at the very beginning of his ministry for the Lord. Four examples of the power of prayer. And so it is no wonder then that when James was speaking about prayer, he referred to Elijah. Isn't that a good witness and testimony to have? Whenever someone speaks about prayer, they can refer to some Christian and say, that man or that woman, they were real prayer warriors. Wonderful to be remembered that way. To be remembered as men and women of prayer. Men and women who knew their God and knew what it was to pray. Elijah called down fire from heaven. And now here he calls down the rain from heaven. There hasn't been rain upon the earth for 3.5 years. And Elijah begins to pray that the Lord would send rain after that long period of time. No rain for 3.5 years, but that was all about to change. And mark this, it was about to change through prayer. It was about to change through prayer. We've often said, prayer changes things. We see how it changed things in Elijah's day. He gave himself to prayer, and suddenly the heavens burst open. And God poured water upon him that was thirsty, and floods upon the dry land. But the rain did not come down immediately. Instead, we're told a little cloud out of the sea was seen like a man's hand. A little cloud appeared first. But that little cloud was a herald of greater things to come. We want to look at this little cloud today. And my subject for today is, there really is power in prayer. That's our subject today. There really is power in prayer. I want us first of all to consider, with regard to Elijah when he began to pray, I want you to notice Elijah and the sound from heaven. You look there again at 1 Kings. And we are told in verse 41, Elijah has just returned from the brook Kishon, where the false prophets of Baal have been slain. And verse 41, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Do you notice something? Elijah was able to tell Ahab that there was a sound of abundance of rain, even though Elijah hadn't even begun to pray. But Elijah heard this heavenly sound. There is a sound of abundance of rain. With regard to this sound from heaven, notice Elijah's boldness. His boldness. Now remember that there had not been a one drop of rain fall upon the earth for 3.5 years. Was this not a bold statement by Elijah? saying to Ahab, get thee up, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. That's what Elijah heard. He was confident that the rain was coming even before he began to pray. You think of it, whenever you and I go to the place of prayer to seek the face of God about some matter, do we go to that prayer meeting confident that what we ask for, God is going to grant it to us if we ask according to His will? Well, Elijah was confident. He boldly stated to Ahab, there's a sound of abundance of rain. And after that, he went to the top of Carmel and began to pray. So we gather then that whenever Elijah said there is a sound of abundance of rain, he could hear that rain by faith. He could hear the rain by faith. He could hear the sound. That speaks to us then of his confidence. He went to Ahab and told him there is a sound of abundance of rain. That's confidence, isn't it? That's confidence in God. Would we be as confident as Elijah was? Could we confidently say that a particular matter we've been praying about, God is going to answer. God is going to do that for me. I think that most of us would keep it to ourselves until the prayer was answered. We wouldn't want to, in our estimation, make a fool of ourselves. But surely that's a lack of confidence in God. Elijah was confident because he told Ahab, there's a sign of abundance of rain. I can hear the rain coming. That's confidence. That is confidence in God. Turn to 1 Kings 18 and verse 24. And here's Elijah, and he's challenging the false prophets. And he said in verse 24, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Verse 33. The false prophets have done the best they could. No answer. We read in verse 33, and he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. He said, do it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Now think of it. Elijah has called for Ahab, and he's called for all Israel to come to Mount Carmel and to witness what was about to take place. This was something that Elijah was doing openly and before everybody. He wasn't doing it in a corner. You see, Elijah was confident that if he prayed for fire to come down and consume the sacrifice and confound the false prophets, he was confident God would answer his prayer. That's why he was able to call everybody to witness, because he knew God would answer his prayer. And we are told, and where we began our reading, and it came to pass in verse 36, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. He was confident. You see, Elijah knew the fire would fall. Why did he know? Because he had confidence in God. Why did he boldly say to Ahab, there is a sign of abundance of rain? Because he was confident that God would send the rain. Oh, for such faith in God. Isn't that what we're told? Have faith in God. And yet our faith is lacking so often. Our faith is weak so often. The Lord would say to us, as he said to the disciples, how is it that ye have no faith? Oh, may the Lord forgive us for our lack of faith and our lack of confidence in God. It's a sin. We have grieved the Lord when we lack confidence in him. And the verse we recited last Sabbath morning could be recited today in relation this time to Elijah praying for the rain. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If ever the verse would apply to someone and to some situation, it applies to Elijah and his situation. He told Ahab, there's a sign of abundance of rain, but they can't see the rain. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Take that word substance. It is the word confidence or assurance. Now read the verse. Now faith is the confidence of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Oh, for faith like that. Sometimes we have a faith and it's a kind of a hope-so faith. But here was a faith that Elijah had that gave him confidence, that gave him assurance that the rain was coming. He was assured. Oh, for faith like that. You have the confidence, you have also the commotion. This was a heavenly sign which Elijah heard by faith. It was an indication that God was about to work. It was an indication that was the sound of the stirrings of God. If we might put it that way. For 3.5 years, there had been no stirrings in the heavens. There had been no rain. Everything was dried up. Everything was a desert. But now there's a stirring in heaven. And Elijah said he heard the sound of abundance of rain. There was a stirring in heaven. Oh, believer, for the day when God stirs in heaven in answer to our prayers. You turn with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 5. And 2 Samuel 5 and verse 23. Verse 22, And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. What did this sound and the going in the top of the mulberry trees indicate? It indicated a stirring in heaven. It indicated the stirrings of God. When thou hearest the sound, it was a heavenly sound. It was a sound from heaven that God was going to move and give David the victory against the Philistines. God was stirring. When Elijah heard the sound of abundance of rain, God was stirring. Turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 10. And there we have the same truth set before us. Ezekiel 10, verse 4. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, that is the house of God. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory, and the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard, even to the outer court, as the voice of the Almighty God when He speaketh. See? Once again, the stirrings of God are accompanied by a sound, a heavenly sound. And when Elijah said to Ahab, there is a sound of abundance of rain, Elijah was saying, God is stirring and He's going to send the rain. It's a heavenly sound. Do we need to go to Acts chapter 2? Once again, God is moving on the day of Pentecost, and His movings and His stirrings again are accompanied by a sound. Acts 2 verse 1, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Here was the promise of the Father that the Lord Jesus spoke about. God was moving and God was stirring on the day of Pentecost. And He sent the Holy Ghost. And when Elijah said there is a sound of abundance of rain, Elijah was saying, God is about to move. Believer, may God give us that faith that we also will hear the going in the tops of the mulberry trees. We also will hear the sound of abundance of rain. We also will hear the sound from heaven, which will indicate God is about to move in great power. That's what we need. You recall what the Lord said to Solomon, the opening of the temple If I shut up heaven, let there be no rain. There you have a silent heaven. For 3.5 years in Elijah's day, there was a silent heaven. You know, believer, today there's a silent heaven. And we need to pray that soon we will hear the sound, that by faith we will hear the stirrings of God. We'll hear the goings in the top of the mulberry trees. And we'll be able to say confidently, there is a sound of abundance of rain. God is going to send His revival. I can hear the sound of abundance of rain. God is going to send His Holy Spirit amongst us in power. For there is a sound in heaven as a rushing mighty wind. That's what we need. We need that faith that believes. We need that faith that gives us confidence in God. You notice also His belief, His boldness. Told Ahab, there's a sound of abundance of rain. I can hear it. He was bold because he had confidence in God. When you have confidence in God, you'll be bold for the Lord too. Then you have his belief. Obviously, Elijah believed God would send the rain. He just boldly stated that. Yet what made Elijah so sure and so confident? Yes, it was his faith. But what was that faith based on? People say, it was my faith that got me through. But you know, that's not scripturally true. It's not our faith that gets us through. It's the one in whom we have placed our faith. The Lord gets us through. And whenever you have faith in God, then you're confident, you know the Lord will get you through, bring you through. Yes, Elijah had faith in God. He believed the Lord would send the rain. But what was the faith based on? Well, look at chapter 18 and verse 1. Chapter 18 and verse 1. And it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. You see, Elijah had the Lord's word on it. The Lord said to Ahab, or to Elijah, go and show yourself unto Ahab, and when you show yourself unto Ahab, I'll send the rain. So what do we have here? We have a man who believed God. We have a man who took the Lord at His word. We have one who did not doubt God. Not at all. That's very evident whenever Elijah was able to say to Ahab, there is a sound of abundance of rain. If he doubted God in any way, he would not have said that. He would not have uttered those words. But he believed God. And because he believed God and took God at his word, he was able to tell Ahab, there's a sound of abundance of rain because God has told me. And believer, whatever God tells us, we can believe it. We can take the Lord, always take Him at His word. Once again, as we have seen before, the prophet rested in God's word. Whenever The Lord told them to leave the brook Cherith and go to the widow woman of Zarephath. He says, the Lord told him, I have a woman there who will look after you. Without doubting the Lord for a moment, we're told that Elijah rose up and went. Now he was leaving a brook that had dried up, and he was going to a woman who'd lost her husband, who was poor, who had practically nothing in the house. But Elijah went, because he took the Lord at his word. That's how Elijah lived. That's how he lived. He lived by the word. He lived resting on the word. He lived believing God and his word. Oh, let us live that way also. Let us believe God. Let us take his word and say, Lord, I believe thy word. Let us have faith in God based upon the truth of his word. Let us be as confident and be as convinced as Elijah was that the Lord will keep his word. That's why he's able to say, Ahab, there's a sound of abundance of rain. Because God has told me he's sending the rain. And by faith I can hear it. You'll notice also, not only his boldness and his belief, but he spoke to old Ahab about the bread. For he said to Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And wouldn't you know it, that's exactly what old Ahab did. For the next verse says, so Ahab went up to eat and to drink. But what did Elijah do? Elijah, he also went up. He went up to the top of Carmel, cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and according to James, prayed that the rain would come. Ahab was more interested in eating and drinking than he was in praying. You have the stark contrast between the two men. In the one verse, Ahab went up to eat and drink, and you can read the words, Elijah went up to pray. While Elijah was interested in seeking God's face in prayer, Ahab entertained no such thoughts at all. You would have thought, whenever things were desperate in the land, that Ahab, ungodly as he was, would have at least started to pray. After all, the ungodly mariners, when they had Jonah in their midst, they prayed. They prayed for deliverance. Surely it was time for Ahab to pray for deliverance, but no, he wasn't interested in praying. Elijah told him, you can go up and eat and drink, and it says Ahab went up to eat and drink. That's all he was interested in. Carnal individual that he was. Elijah was the godly man. Ahab was the gluttonous man. And while one man went up to pray, the other went up to eat and drink. One man hungered and thirsted after God. The other man hungered and thirsted after carnal things. Doesn't this set before us in stark contrast the way of the carnal man and the way of the godly man? Some live only to satisfy the flesh, while others live to satisfy the soul. Some have a burden for their country, so they pray for revival. Some have a burden for their family, so they pray for reformation. Some have a burden for the souls of men, so they pray for their rescue, while others have no such burdens at all. No burdens at all. No burden for revival. No burden for their family. No burden for unsaved loved ones. No burden for the unsaved of this town. Like Ahab, they have no such burden for prayer. But Elijah, he went up as Ahab went up, but Elijah went up to pray. That's the difference. And he prayed, and the first sign of an answer was a crowd like a man's hand, a little cloud. That was a sign that God was answering Elijah's prayer. We'll have to leave it there. The next time we want to look at Elijah supplicating heaven, there was the sound in heaven. Now we must deal with the next time Elijah supplicating heaven. And my, what lessons there are there for us to learn from the few verses we have here regarding Elijah's praying. And Ahab went up to eat and to drink. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again 7 times. Why did Elijah tell his servant to go 7 times? That's interesting. Why did he tell him to go 7 times? Would it not have been better for Elijah to say to his servant, "You stay there, and when you see a cloud, come and tell me"? But instead, the servant went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, 8 times in all. The first time and then 7 times. Why was that? Well, that's one of the things we'll answer when we look again at this portion of Scripture. What a tremendous portion it is. What a mighty man of prayer Elijah was. A man of faith. A man of trust. A man of confidence in God. May God make us like Elijah. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving and gracious Father, we do thank Thee, as we have learned this morning, there really is power in prayer. We know that prayer changes things. And through the prayers of Elijah, things changed in Israel. From 3.5 years without rain to suddenly a deluge of rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. The desert blossomed as a rose. Oh, prayer changes things. Oh, Lord, may we get a hold of this truth. And oh gracious God, may we pray down the showers of blessing. May we pray down a deluge of blessing. May we, Lord, take thee at thy word. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. May we take thee at thy word. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts. May we meditate upon it today and think about it. And think about the truths we have learned from thy word. May we give ourselves to praying. May we not miss the opportunity to lay hold on God. Lord, answer prayer. Be with us as we part the one from the other. In thy will, O Lord, return us to thy house this evening to learn more from thy word. And Lord, to gain an experimental knowledge of thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.